everyone. You're listening to Patio Talk Pod,
where we believe everyone has a story.
And we want to share it.
I'm David.
And I'm Cindy.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is the third week of Adoption Stories. We got a great one for you today. Another wonderful couple that we've had the opportunity to walk through their adoption journey with them. I can't wait for you guys to hear them. Interview's a little bit long, so we're going to keep our intro short because we want you to really dive into what our guests have to say. But we've promised you that we are going to have words that are hurtful and how to not say those things. So we're going to kick off with one that I think kind of is, it's kind of a pet peeve with us. I know it is for Cindy. So Cindy, you want to tell them what that is?
The one about, are you going to have children of your own? And what I mean by that is when maybe a couple, such as the one that you're going to hear from today, actually starts with building their family through adoption first, rather than the conventional way of biological children. And they had family asking, don't you want children of your own first? That is a big pet peeve because adopted children are your own children.
Exactly.
Just as well as your biological children.
They're your children.
Yes.
Regardless of how they got to be your children, they're your children.
Whether they grew in your heart or your stomach, they are your child.
Yes. And again, where a lot of well-meaning good people have bad terminology.
Absolutely.
So another one, as we approach the holiday season, this is one for me that really, it sticks in my crawl. It really gets me. There are organizations, especially around the holidays, who will put up an angel tree. They will say, adopt an angel off the angel tree. Basically, what you're doing is you're picking a child off of the tree and you're buying them Christmas gifts. That's not adopting.
Not at all. Adopting is permanent, is forever. Even in the world of adopting a new process, it's not a temporary...
It's not a temporary thing.
It's not temporary, yep.
It's permanent.
Exactly.
To add to that, there are organizations out there who have children in orphanages that they sponsor. And there are good people, again, with bad terminology, that will say, adopt this child and sponsor them. You're not adopting that child. You are sponsoring that child. If you were going to adopt that child, you would...
Yeah, you're helping supplement for their needs.
Exactly. You're supplementing what they need. Again, people aren't bad. It's the terminology's bad. So the thought process, again, what we wanted to do is to make you think before you speak. Because the terminology is incorrect. Let me put it to you this way. If you are a person who has been adopted, and you hear, let's just say, you hear someone that you think very highly of say, adopt this child off this angel tree, and you're an adopted person. How do you think that may make you feel? So again, just think before we speak. I don't like leaving it on a negative note. Like, leave it on a positive note. And that's why I continue to say, it's good people with bad terminology. If you're going to pick a child off the angel tree, you're going to sponsor that child off of the angel tree. So please use that terminology. If you're going to go through an organization to supplement the needs of a child, you are sponsoring that child. You are not adopting that child. So please use that terminology. Fair enough?
Fair enough. All right, listeners, kick back, relax, listen in.
Here's Connor and Mystery.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We are excited to have you guys on tonight. And, you know, I think one of you has probably the coolest name I have ever heard in my entire life. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Connor and Mystery. And, of course, I'm talking about Connor's name, not Mystery. No, I've always thought that, you guys. So ever since the day we met you guys with Mystery's name, I thought, man, that is the coolest name I've ever heard in my life.
I would have to agree. And she is one of the coolest people I've ever met,
Absolutely, she is. Absolutely. Now, you know, we know you guys, but our audience doesn't. So Cindy's got a few questions. She's going to break you over the coals with, I mean, talk to you about. And you guys just answer as truthfully and honestly or dishonestly as you'd like to. Just let everybody know who you are.
All right. You guys ready?
We're ready.
Let's do it.
Here we go. I'm getting to know you. Are you an Instant Pot or a Crock Pot?
Instapot.
Yeah, Instapot.
Quicker the better.
Are you saying yeah for her, Connor, or for yourself?
Oh, for myself. I don't.
Okay, you're okay. Both Instant Pots.
Let's be real here. There are some things that just taste better in a crock pot, but I don't really care. Like, I'll put my I'll put my pizza rolls in the microwave before the oven. All right, I'm that guy. So,
so your thought process is the same then?
Yes. The pot? Yeah, yes, the pot.
All right.
So that's got to be interesting. We've never had two, you know, not that we've interviewed a ton of couples.
What do you put in the Instapot?
Oh, I don't use it.
Thought process.
I just, yeah, it's just the principle of the thing.
Like for me, I have to marinate it. I have to slow cook it a little bit and process it before I, you may speak on something or, you know, I've got to carefully calculate it.
Not me. I just spit it right out.
Yeah, me too.
So that's interesting that the both of you are Instant Pots. So that definitely has to make life interesting if you're both quick on it. Like it. So who's the free spirit and who's the nerd?
Depends on what we're talking about.
Yeah, it really depends. It's not so cut and dry for us because because like I will nerd out on a budget, but Mystery will do the same thing.
I'm the rule follower. It depends on what it is. I'm more spontaneous.
That's for sure.
Spontaneous as long as it falls within the correct guidelines, right?
Of my guidelines.
Of your own guidelines, right? Yeah, right.
Like I say, you know, I'm a rule follower and, you know, our son really calls me a goody two shoes on it all the time, but I'm not so strict in it that like it has to be logical, like certain stop signs sometimes to me shouldn't even be there. So really only talking about the one in front of my house.
Stop it. You're telling now. We know people that live around here.
Edit that out.
Yeah, one that's a sheriff. He'll be watching me.
No, so I mean that's so it is. It's a crazy thing. But in your relationship with you know, you guys in your marriage relationship, who is the one who's more Mystery, you said you're spontaneous.
Yeah.
Connor, are you spontaneous?
I'm the whatever the exact opposite of spontaneous is, that's me.
Okay. All right.
But I will also go with the flow. Like whatever. Like
if because you what I've already done is done.
I've got.
He doesn't have a choice. Then, in other words, yeah. Right?
Okay. I don't initiate the spontaneity.
Ah. Okay. There we go. Good answer.
Okay. So, what is one of your favorite comfort foods?
Oh boy.
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts.
I mean, so like I quit Pop-Tarts like cold turkey went out of high school. And then I ate them literally every day.
To Pop-Tarts and then
My name is Connor. I'm a Pop-Tart addict.
Love it, dude. Hey, own it.
Every day for a decade. And then I just quit. And then I started back, when Elsie was born. And they're really comforting. I think I know why I like them so much.
Well, you know, that was a life change. And then the pandemic happens right on top of that. So
twofold.
Yeah.
You needed comfort food.
All right, Mystery, what about you?
I don't know.
It depends on your mood.
It really does. It depends on if I'm sad, angry, happy.
Like, sometimes it's a Diet Coke.
Oh, I love my LDC.
Or a Diet Pepsi. Well, and then sometimes it's just chocolate, any kind of chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's definitely those chocolate-covered pretzels, but the thin ones.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember who makes them, but it's like the perfect sweet to salty ratio. That would be my favorite. I can go through a bag of those and like on the way home from the grocery store.
Ah, there you go.
And I love how Connor's able to answer for you, like throw some suggestions out there. I think that's great. Pays attention. He knows you.
He really does.
So in light of that, how long have you been together?
Ooh.
All together. Dating and married.
All together. 2009.
So.
11 years?
11 and a half years.
And how many of those have you been married?
Six.
6 years.
Yeah, so almost half the time.
Who asked who first?
Who asked who first? Like to do
on a date, yeah.
Oh, I definitely pursued Connor out of spite, but we won't go there.
Out of spite. Oh.
We might have to go there. That sounds interesting.
Privately.
This is not podcast worthy. No.
It's not.
Okay, so note that for after podcast. Find out the deets.
No, you can say it's out of spite, but like we just can't tell it.
Okay. Okay. Got it. So you definitely pursued Connor.
I did.
Was he playing hard to get?
Yep.
Over MySpace.
Yeah.
Wow.
But see, in my defense, every night Connor would send out love songs. Like he'd type them out on the phone and send them to me.
On a T9.
But little did I know, he sent them to everybody in his contacts, like not just me. So I was going to school every day with a smile on my face because I thought this boy liked me, and he was just sending everybody songs.
Was that you tweeting before Twitter?
Basically, yeah.
So, I got mixed signals.
I never really thought about it. Like, but it wasn't all love songs. Like, there was just a kick where I was, like, really into Jason Mraz. And, you know, so that's what would go out.
Well, look what it got you. It got you a wife.
And a great one at that.
And a baby.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason.
So who said I love you first?
I did.
Yeah. How did that go for you?
I don't remember. It was over the phone.
Was it? I have a really bad memory. So
did he say it back though, is what I want to know. Or was it an awkward moment?
I think you told me, you probably told me not to yet.
Yeah. Because it was early. We started dating in March. I probably told you March, and April, May, June, July.
All the way down to August. It wasn't until August.
You told me on August 25th.
Okay, so, I got to dig a little bit.
Okay.
So, Connor told you on August 25th. When did you tell him?
Oh, I don't know.
She already said, like, June or July.
All right, June or July. All right, got it.
It's funny that we asked this question. And we can't answer it for ourselves. Because I asked David the other night, I was like, so do you remember, you know, when you told me you love me? He was like, I'm sorry, I don't. I'm like, darn, I was hoping you could tell me.
How long have you guys been together?
26 years. Next week, actually. Yeah, we started dating the day before my 17th birthday.
Oh, wow.
So next week will be 26 years. Yep.
Dude, did you buy her a gift for her birthday?
No, but I showed up with a rose.
He did, yeah.
On our first date.
He was late.
I was late for our first date. Now you got to think this was pre-cell phone.
I mean, you had to buy a rose.
This was pre-cell phone. This was on a Sunday that we went out. And I was at church. And I was late, leaving church.
But so, I didn't know that.
She didn't know that. There was no cell phone. There was no texting. You know, hey, I'm running late.
I thought he was going to stand me up on purpose because I kept telling him, no, I wouldn't go out with him. And then finally, I had a friend that told me, just go out with him and get a free birthday dinner. And so I'm like, okay. Yeah.
So I tell people all the time, just go on a date, get to know the guy, you get a free meal.
Yeah.
That's what Cindy was trying to do.
It's a gift that just keeps on giving. So, yeah. I just know he said it first because I would have never. Just knowing me and my introvertedness, and yeah, I wouldn't have said it first. Let's see here. Did you talk about what you hoped for your family to look like as you were preparing to get married and everything?
Well, when it came to kids, yes. Everything else, no. I was very adamant I was not having kids, like, ever. Like, I did not. I don't know if I didn't want them, but I prepped Connor for that. Like, when we talked about marriage, I was like, just to let you know, like, going forward, if you want to get married, you need to know, like, that's not in my future. Like, I don't want that. I mean, my mind, obviously, and I told him, I was like, no, you can't change my mind. My mind's not changing. Like, that's what I kept telling him. Like, you need to know that my mind's not changing. But.
Well, I remember us having those conversations, and I always thought, okay, you know, if we don't, I would like to. Sounds cool, but, you know, I guess if not, I can go, like, volunteer at a little league or something. Like, I can do something, you know. It's cool. But we did apparently have the adoption conversation at some point.
Because, yeah, I mean, I always, It's a TV show I watched. A girl got on there and like fostered kids to have medical procedures. But like, it was something I wanted to do, but it never seemed like something we could do. You know, like financially, it's just so expensive. So I was like, we'll never be able to do that. So it was just like, eh.
Were you thinking at that age, right? Back then, were you thinking that you didn't want to physically have children yourself?
Right.
Or was it that you just didn't want to have kids?
Well, I didn't physically want to have children. And I think that was like an immature side of me. But also, like, I just never, like, a lot of girls sit around and they just think about families and being a mom. And that just wasn't me. Like, I never sat around saying, oh, I cannot wait to be a mom. Like, that's just never something I ever gave any thought. So I guess the thought of it kind of scared me. So I just wanted him to be aware going into marriage, like, don't expect that from me, because it might, there's a big possibility it might not happen.
I think that's very admirable of you to tell him.
Well, I think, you know, if he really wanted that, then that's something he had to think about.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So that basically answered my next question, was did you ever foresee adoption being part of how you would grow your family? So kind of, it was a thought, but not something you thought was obtainable.
Right.
And obviously it was, or we wouldn't be sitting here doing this interview today.
I know. I wouldn't have it any other way. Like the whole thing that you don't know love until you have a baby. Like, it's so true.
That's absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. So let's start walking through that. You guys have adopted. Let's walk through that process. When did that conversation start for you?
I kind of went through this phase where I wanted to foster, and Connor, like, he wasn't ready for that. I don't think. I don't think he liked the idea of like having a baby or having a kid and then giving it back. So there was an organization that we were volunteering with. Yeah. And the guy called me and he said, the guy that ran the organization, he said, we have a mom who's in a situation. She's got a 3-month-old. Would you like to help out? And I didn't even ask Connor. I was like, yep, we'll do it. We'll take her. And so then I hung up the phone and I called Connor and I was like, I think we're going to foster a little girl. And he was like,
I remember I was at work. And it was this weird time at work too. We were like in this transitionary period where we were like moving offices. So we were all like really crammed together. So anytime you want to talk on the phone, you had to go to this like really like spot, like that's the talk on the phone spot. And you just hoping nobody else is there. And so I'm pacing around like kind of like, you know, hush talking, like, you know, trying to keep my voice down. And Mystery drops it on me that we're about to bring home a 3-month-old and emergency foster parents. I mean, I guess.
I was like, I already said yes. But we went through a couple days of that process and it fell through. And I think that made Connor realize, like.
Well, that was more than a couple days. That lasted a long time.
You think so?
Yeah, that was, we went like that. We've worked on that for about a month.
You think so?
I know, yeah, for sure. Because we had to have all those meetings. And
anyway, Connor was. I mean, I went into it knowing, like, it was a possibility. Like, I didn't go into it thinking, like, we're definitely getting a baby. And I think Connor did, and I think that we can tell you're part of that.
Yeah, I mean, so, I don't know. Like, I got really excited about it, you know. Even so much so, like, we got a phone call, you know, when we got a phone call from the foster people telling us, hey, you know, be prepared to bring this child home, you know, when after the court date's over, like, oh crap. Okay. So, you know, they were really prepping us for it. So we had to go get a crib. We had a crib sitting in our bedroom ready to go. And we had already called at least my parents. I can't remember, and grandparents.
You were just really excited.
I was really excited. And then, you know, the day we get there is the day everything fell through. And then we just had this crib sitting in our bedroom for 2 weeks or something. We're like, it was a little, I don't know, ominous is not the right word, but you know what I'm going for. Like that, just looking around and seeing that, I was like, well, crap, that was going to happen. And then it didn't. So I think that's really where the real conversation began.
Because it was like, well, we could try to have children. And I was like, what if we adopted first? And Connor's like, we could do that. And I looked at prices. I was like, we can't do this. And he's like, well, we'd have to have fundraisers. And I was like, we can't do this. But we did it.
We felt the same way. When we first started looking at adoption, we felt the exact same
thing. It's so daunting.
You think you look at the all the costs that are involved, and you get a little overwhelmed, and you go, okay, how in the world can we do this? Right? So that's exactly what you felt. And any folks that are out there thinking about it, we totally understand when you look at it and go, what are the costs that this
don't look at it as a whole.
Takes?
Yeah,
exactly.
Look at it as a little bit's due here, a little bit's due there. Do it in pieces.
Do it in pieces. Exactly. Yeah. Because it's worth it. And, you know, as you guys can attest now, it looks daunting at first, but then when you get into it, it's like nothing's too daunting for God.
No.
Absolutely not.
You learn real quick that he shows up. Yeah.
He shows up and shows out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So the conversation started. We could adopt first.
Yes.
So let's walk through that a little bit.
I think it was like, well, this is something that sounds like something we would really want to do. And you hear, I had heard it said during growing up. Now I'm not so sure what I think about it now, but there are enough babies in the world. I remember having that thought in my head. And I think now that I've learned more and matured more through the process, I'm not really sure that I completely agree with that statement. But so that was part of our process, for better or for worse. And it also kind of goes back to the whole idea of, are we really sure we want to have kids? You know, that was that conversation that we never really like nailed that down. So if it was between having a bio baby, like, mm-hmm. or adopting, you know, let's pick adopting first. Let's make that our first choice, because if we go the bio route,
we might not have as much time to like fill out paperwork, fundraise.
It would be more difficult to adopt. Yeah. And then if we decide we don't want any more kids, well, we never got to go through that experience of adopting like we would have wanted to in the first place. So that just seemed like they just won out at the end of the day. It was like, this is the one we're picking this. And it's not, it wasn't out of necessarily some like big noble reason or anything like that. It was, I mean, call it selfish, whatever you want, but that was the route that we decided to go.
No, I think it's definitely something that God had planned with using that other situation through the possibility of the emergency fostering. That I think back to David and I, we had a similar situation to where we had to go through the whole process of writing a letter that, you know, we found out these grandparents couldn't raise their grandchild and were looking for someone. And we went through the whole emotional part of writing the letter of how we would raise him. And it just, those were part of the promptings when, you know, to use a cliche, God started pricking our hearts for it. And I think that's what he did in your situation for sure, is to really show you that it was possible.
Yeah, and when I see that now, you know, hindsight, but in the moment, it was just I don't want to call it a practical decision, but it didn't feel very spiritual, at least for me.
In the beginning?
Yeah. Like the decision to adopt, it was more practical than spiritual, really. It was just like, okay, this is what we're doing. Not like I'm, you know, going into it knowing that I'm, you know, stepping onto the waters or anything like that. But I feel like that's kind of a theme.
Well, we caught some flack for that. I mean, I have people in my family be like, oh, you always want to do things the hard way, don't you? Like, I don't know.
So you receive some pushback for it.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, it is a little bit unique with your situation. And again, that's one of the reasons we definitely wanted you guys to be on here, is that I don't look at it as I don't look at it as anything wrong. I think it's perfectly.
Absolutely.
A perfectly okay and a perfectly good way to look at it. Even like, if you're, you just like look at it rationally. I mean, yeah. It's really, I mean, you think, you said it just a few minutes ago there, and I was wanting to elaborate on that is there's enough babies in the world. And when you said you grew up hearing that, right? So yeah, there are babies out there who need parents. And there are people out there who need people like yourselves to step up and give a child a chance.
Yeah. And I think, and that was definitely part of it too, where I thought, man, how awesome would that be to do that, right? To step in and step up like that.
But you never really, like, until you do all that adoption homework and you learn about trauma and all that stuff, you don't realize, like, it's a whole other ball game. Like, it's not like you're just stepping in and raising a child to help them. Like, it's a whole other ball game, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. The onion has many layers.
Yes, it does. And it continues to unfold.
Every day. Yes.
It really does.
But I one of the things that I will say is I would like for, you know, if there's something that people do take away from our decision to do that, is that I would love for other people to see that, to see adoption not as a, as always the second option, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Oh, well, this is, it's not an alternative. I mean, well, it's not always, it's not just an alternative. It is an option from the beginning, and you can do that, and it's okay.
Yeah. That's a great message.
I love that, Connor. That's very awesome. So let's talk about the process. Which one of you handled most of the paperwork?
I mean, it was kind of half and half, actually. I mean, I got everything squared away, and I did everything, like I lined everything up. But when it came to some of, like, the grant paperwork, because we did a lot of grants, Connor did help out with that. He stepped up and did a lot of the grant paperwork for us, because I was just paperwork out by the end of it.
So Mystery did a lot of, like if it came, when it comes, this is where kind of, that's why when you asked us the nerd free spirit thing, it kind of, the lines get a little blurry because Mystery is so good at being organizational. Her organizational skills are at 100. She just, I mean, she's just on top of everything, which sidebar, if you are in this process and that is, and your significant other is the person who is doing all that, do your best to try and help. Don't just let them take the burden, because it is a burden. I found myself doing that a lot, just letting Mystery just take the reins. And that's not okay.
I can agree. I did the same thing with Cindy.
But anyway, yeah, she was really good at that stuff. And then I like to write. So there was a lot of things, like when it came to really deep philosophical questions, that's kind of like, I like those sort of things anyway. So,
like, we'd talk it out and he'd write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. It was teamwork. You guys worked together using your strengths to make it happen.
So now, but let's walk through. You become, put it in the terms of your paper pregnant, right? You've done all the business and you've got to the point where now you're paper pregnant and you're waiting. Let's talk about that. What did the waiting look like? And then when you got the call.
Yeah, well, we have to talk about their fundraising too, because they had some really great fundraising.
We could talk about that, but let's talk about we can backtrack a little bit. But let's talk about the waiting and the call.
The waiting, it's hard for everybody in different aspects. For me, I don't know, like, it's when you do these Skype calls with birth parents and they're just grilling you. I try to tell people that, like, when I talk to people that are adopting, your first call is going to suck. Because you don't know what to expect. You're nervous. I mean, you're always going to be nervous. You just don't know what you're doing. And you got to get, it's like an interview. Like, you got to get a feel for it for the first time to know what to do for the second time. And it's like those interviews, oh my gosh. Not a one of them is the same. But that was the hardest thing for me. Like, when they would ask really deep and hard questions, or.
Or you just didn't feel like an emotional connection.
Right.
That would be tough. But, and also the waiting bit, the way our process would work is we would get situation emails. is what they would be called. There's the situation. And the situation email comes in, you look at it, you look it over, and you know, we would always talk it out. Like, are we gonna submit? So because basically you could say, hey, submit me.
Well, not submit. You say yes or no whether or not you want to be shown to those birth parents.
That's what I mean by submit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because the birth parents pick.
And then they get to pick if they want to have a call with you.
I think one of the hard parts about waiting is the money bit of it, right? So if you're, you know, you open up a situation and it's $20,000 more than you were expecting, and you're like, I would love to, but, and then you just, I don't know, I always hated doing that.
Yeah, because we'd be like, the baby's due in 6 months, we need $30,000, like, how is that possible? There were some that we'd put in for it anyway, and we'd be like, well, I guess if we're getting it, we're going to have to figure it out.
Because we would just, I don't know about you, but I feel like I just got like fed up with it at sometimes. I was just like, you know what? We're just going to submit and we're just going to have to get the money.
Like, well, and at one point, he was just so ticked off. He was like, why aren't we getting picked? Like, he was so frustrated. Yeah. He wanted to talk to our case manager and be like, he literally emailed her and said, what can we do to be liked more?
Yeah, like, are we doing anything wrong? Or can we have like exit interviews here? Like,
you're right.
And it's not that they don't like you. It's that they either connect with somebody or like our birth parents, they really like the fact that we got married in the zoo and that we were creative. Like, they said that they liked that. And I mean, that's not the main reason, but that was something that stood out to them when they looked at our profile book.
Yeah. Cause it's a big decision they're making. They're looking for a connection, something that gives them confirmation that they're making a good choice. You know,
and I mean, we were told that from the beginning, that it could even be like, you have a dog and they had a dog like that when they were a child and they want their child to grow up with that kind of dog, you know? So like for me, I mean, it was frustrating, but when we put in for the situation for Elsie, we looked at each other and I just had a feeling about it. Like I did, like I told him, I said, I think we're going to get this baby. And he was like, don't say that. And I was like, I think we're going to get this baby. I just had a feeling. I don't know what it was. And we submitted for it, and she was due on January 15th. So we had plenty of time. Like, we didn't, I don't know.
When Mystery gets a feeling, and she's had it, you're everyone's ears ought to perk up because oftentimes those feelings actualize themselves.
So many songs written about that.
Yeah,
I feel. Many songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the phone call.
Oh gosh. That was chaos.
Yeah. So, and again, this is just like another thing where this is very,
so before we talk about, I'm sorry to interrupt, but before we talk about, can you give a timeline to our listeners of how long, you know, since you started the process to the point of getting your phone call?
We started in August of 2018. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we were paper pregnant in March.
Yeah.
And then we got a phone call 9 months later.
It's all very, it's not crazy. I mean, it's definitely God, but it's just to think about it and put it all out there, like to say it out loud, it sounds crazy. You know, we were a waiting family for exactly 9 months. When we got matched.
Almost to the day.
Like as if we were really pregnant, you know, like, and we didn't realize that until we were at the adoption agency finalizing and they were like, y'all went active in March.
And she was like, let me go pull up the exact date. And she's like, y'all, it's been almost 9 months to the day. We're like, what?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a host of coincidences that are, well, things that appear like coincidences.
You can't make it up, and it can't happen. Like, it's like things like that make me wonder, like, how do people hear that and then not think that God is not real? You know what I'm saying? It's like when you're in an airplane and you're looking out the window and you see all those mountains or just all the clouds. It's like the world. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you look out that window and you don't know God's not real? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Exactly.
Another podcast for another day.
No, but still, I totally understand.
No, I've always said, God doesn't plan for these children to be in these situations, but he has a plan for them when it happens and takes place. And that's evidence of that.
All right. We're 9 months into this. We get the phone call. Tell everyone when you got the phone call. How did that go? And who got the phone call?
So it was Christmas Day. We were waiting. So first of all, Elsie wasn't due to be born until January 15th. So the whole reason why we were never contacted prior to them picking us was because they were waiting until after the holiday to set up a meeting through Skype to see if the birth parents were 100% sure they wanted to go with us. So it's Christmas Day and we're sitting there at home. It's like, what, 5, 6 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for my brother's girlfriend to come home so we can open presents together because he wanted to wait. And they called me first, but I didn't hear my phone. And Connor's like, Utah's calling me. And he answers. And there's this lady on the other line going, we've been trying to get a hold of you, but your birth mom, she's in labor right now. And Connor looks at me and I said, what birth mom? Like, we're not matched. And she was like, oh yeah, you're matched. They said, your birth mom, she's at the hospital right now. She's in labor and you're matched. And it's going to be a boy. And we were like, what? We're not matched. And they were like, has no one called you? And we're like, no. And she was like, well, anyway, y'all just go about your evening as normal. Call your family, your friends.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. We'll see you in Utah tomorrow. And I was like, don't hang up the phone. Wait a minute. Like
I can totally see you saying that too.
Hold on.
Yeah, well, I called another friend of ours that was walking through the process with us. And I was like, she's like, what are you doing? I was like, somehow we're matched and our birth mom's in labor. And she's like crying. She's like, this is so great. This is exciting. And I was like, I don't know what to do. She's like, start packing your bags. So like, I've got our suitcases out and Melissa, I just threw clothes at her and Melissa packed our entire suitcase. And Haley and Trent drove us to the airport at 5:30 the next morning. And
well, but also just walk back to that night, because that was that when they called us and they told us, they said, we were excited. So we started like, when we found out like this was legit, like, oh, okay. They just, we realized what had happened, like what Mystery had said. They were supposed to contact us a few days before and set up this thing, and it just didn't end up working out. And so the birth parents was just like, yes, that's the one. Those are the ones. We don't need an interview. They're the ones we want. Call them, let them know. Because the birth mom went into early labor.
They just said, call Mystery Connor. Call Mystery Connor.
Like, yeah.
Get them here.
Wow. So, so then when we were telling people, we didn't know, we were like, you know, I'm pretty sure the situation, like when we signed the papers, it said that it was a baby girl to be due.
But they said baby boy.
But they said baby boy. And we're like, I don't know.
We're just getting a baby. Yeah. We leave tomorrow. Please send money for our help or food or something. Like, just help.
Yeah. Oh, and also, we were short on money at this time, too. We did not have all the money that we needed.
No. Because we were expecting that situation to be January 15th. Because we were like, if we get matched with this situation, it'll happen. Like, if it's meant to be, it'll work out. And then like, an hour after we're calling all our family, they were like, the baby is born.
Yeah. It was like a 2-hour labor. It was super quick.
Wow.
Wow.
It was chaos. How do you call someone and say, your birth mom's in labor, you've been matched, the baby is born, go about your evening as normal. We'll see you tomorrow.
So
like, nothing is normal after that point.
Well, nothing's normal. Let's talk about this. So it's Christmas Day, late in the evening, and you get the phone call. And it's like, we need you to be here tomorrow.
Right.
You've got to get a plane ticket, 2 plane tickets mm-hmm. to get there.
Yeah. One-way flight.
Yeah. You don't know how long you're going to be there.
No.
You are not really knowing what to expect when you get there because you've been told boy, girl, you don't know, right? So it's
by
like,
the end,
but before the night was over, we found out.
Yeah, because we got to FaceTime the birth parents and talk to them and see them and see the baby and meet grandma and everything.
So you knew before you got on the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Good deal. But yeah, let's just have a regular night. Yeah. Okay.
let's just go back to opening our presents and
eating. Like the best Christmas present ever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do that. You pull it off. You get to the airport the next day. You're out there. You fly in, and this is amazing. You get there and you see her. What's that?
Yeah.
Like?
Well, I'll never forget it. Like, we got off the plane. We rushed to the Airbnb. We changed our clothes. The cab waited out there for us, rushed us to the hospital. So, like, we weren't even in Utah an hour because, like, our social worker was like, I'm meeting you at the hospital. Like, give me like minute by minute updates. And we were just these two. I remember we were sitting in the back of the cab, and I was like, we have to take a picture to remember what we look like and feel like in this moment in the back of the cab. And then we got to the hospital. We were just like these two, really, like, at that point, I wasn't nervous anymore. Like, I was just like, this is happening. You better get it together. And Connor was just like,
I was freaking out.
He was like, I think I'm going to be sick.
Like, it was like, I remember how I felt on our wedding day, like right before, like everything was about to go down. I'm like bent over on my knees, like, oh, this is happening. Oh, it was like that all over again.
Yeah. This is a life changing event.
Yes.
Within an hour, we walked up to the hospital room, and we walked in the room, and I call her H to the public. She just, mm-hmm. you know, we walked in and she handed me Elsie, and it was like, it didn't hit me in that moment. Like, it did not hit me like, you're a mom, because like, life was so chaotic. Like, we went from like normal, oh, we're adopting, we're waiting to be matched kind of life, to like, boom, bam, your parents. And so we sat in the hospital room for about 2 hours and got to like spend time with everybody, like his mom and the birth dad and birth mom. And then Elsie was in the NICU for a few days, but it didn't hit me that we were parents until like 2 months later. Until I had time to like sit down and like actually process everything. Cause it was just like, life just went, like, it was go, 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 go.
Yeah. Cause we had nothing. We had nothing, you know, when we got that call, we had no baby items whatsoever.
But then somehow miraculously everything turned out fine.
everything turned out just fine.
Right.
Crazy.
That's awesome. It's this awesome story.
It's absolutely insane.
So let's talk about bonding. So took you, Mystery, it took you about 2 months to say, hey, I'm mom.
Well, I mean, I bonded with her. Like, it wasn't that we didn't bond. It was that the fact that, like, it took me 2 months. Like, I was sitting, I'll never forget that morning. It was like morning feed, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, holy crap. Like, this is forever. Like, you're my baby. I'm your mom, kind of thing. But no, we sat in the hospital in that NICU for 16 hours a day, just holding her. That was the best thing. And I think that's what's so cool about adoption, is because like, it's just you and your spouse, or if you're alone, it's just you, and you get to experience that. You get to have that time together. You know, that first 2 weeks we were in Utah, you know what I mean? Like, we just got to, it was just the three of us, and we just got to be together.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to, you know, maybe a traditional bio where whole family's around.
And not that that's a bad thing.
No, but it's not.
It's just a really nice experience. Like, it's just a really, as chaotic as it was just really nice.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd have to agree, because for us, it was a week in another country. So we definitely were removed from family and such. So it was nice to just have that time just to kind of bond as a family. And, you know, for us, we, you know, obviously we had our daughter, and so she got to go with us. So we were able to,
as a family,
just figure that out, you know, for the four of us, and have that precious time together.
And not to worry about the world.
Exactly. Even when one of us didn't speak English.
It was just really nice. I mean, we FaceTime and shared pictures, but like, it was just nice just to be able to sit there and do that skin to skin and just, I don't know, just be together.
So I'm gonna have to share something here. This whole year has been crazy, right? With like, you know, right after you guys brought Elsie home, there's been the pandemic, there's been all this stuff going on, but God has still been so good, like watching this through with you guys and your family maturing and growing together. And then, you know, our friends that, you know, we talked on our previous podcast, that a group of us all have been touched by adoption. And this year, so many of the families have gotten to bring their babies home.
Right.
So rewinding back to Christmas Eve of last year, you know, I was at church service, and I just was, I don't know, I just had every one of you guys on my heart and wanting you guys, desiring for you to have your babies, that I just remember just through worship time, just pleading with God, because I knew that he could move the mountains in the way for each family, because he had done it for us.
and just crying out, you know, please let 2020 be the year that these babies come to their homes. Then you call us the next night and share.
With I have chill.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, for that
God's
night.
Like, it just, I was like, are you sure though? Because I don't know if you know this, but there's about to be a pandemic.
Yeah. So obviously I'm not trying to say my prayer did anything, but I just think that's so cool how just mysterious he is and how things work together like that. And, you know, and often it is looking back when you see God and everything. But I just remember that night you called and I just was just praising and thanking God for that. And I'm like, okay, that's one. Let's go. Let's move the others. And,
two more.
Yeah. And, you know, the one family is that we haven't shared any story about on here yet. You know, they're close to it. They've had some. They've had some progress. Yes. You know, it won't be the end of 2020 for them, but they've had major progress. And so, you know, we'll still celebrate that and be thankful, but it's just, I don't know. It's indescribable to look at this year with all the craziness, but yet there's still so much good going on and these babies getting loved. That's all I got to say.
Before I cry. She's starting to cry. She's starting to break down over here. So, you know, you guys, your story is wonderful when you get to go pick her up and you go through this whirlwind of emotions. There's so many things happening. You do get to spend that time, just the three of you. And then you come back home and you start your life with her.
Yeah.
Lots of changes happened. I mean, then we started into a pandemic and not long after you've had her home. And I, for one, am just ticked off about it because I only got to hold her like once. So, and
now she's like 10 years old.
Yeah, she's 10. So. But yeah, so it's just
teenage
amazing.
Attitudes coming soon.
Yeah, a lot of changes happen. A lot of changes happen for you guys this year. So let's just talk about that. How has this year been for you? You know, you've got a new baby and then, you know, what happens in the world happens. How have you guys been?
It's had its ups and downs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's had its ups in a way of like, Connor's got to work from home and we both have gotten to watch her grow, you know, but then also it's had its downs because everybody that we've went to church with or all of our family, you know, we still have family members that haven't even met her yet, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, it's because, you know, they don't want to risk getting COVID or, you know, they don't want to risk giving it or, you know, it's just taking her. We take her to church, but I mean, you know, church isn't how it used to be pre-pandemic. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like you can just pass her around to a million people anymore.
Mm-hmm. And because, you know, our church was we could not have done it without them. Like no. they were our people mm-hmm. during the process. Right. And obviously you guys were a part of that. So it was just, it really sucks to that now be like, ah, well, I know you were, you know, you guys thinking, you know, the hypothetical people that were helping us,
mm-hmm.
you were so much a part of this. And now, oh, you get to look at her like on your way to your pew, you know, with your mask on. And it's like, it's just not the same as if it had been, if we were in a pre-pandemic world. It just, I don't like that. And I mean, just like you said, you got to see her like one time. Like,
yeah.
It's not fair. I don't like it.
No, I don't either. But we're dealing with it. And the true blessing, though, is like you said, Mr. I think we have to look at the true blessing of it is that you guys have gotten a lot more time at home together.
Yes.
Even though if you are working from home, but you're still there.
We, you know, before we. Moved into our house, you know, we were in a small apartment and we just did literally everything in the big living room and I worked right there. And so, you know, Mystery and Elsie would be like literally 5 feet away from me, like, you know, 8 hours a day. And
I still remember the first time she laughed, he was in this really important meeting and we were trying to be quiet and I was like, meeting's over, Connor. I was like, Connor, she just laughed. And the meeting just like went silent. And Connor was like, I'm sorry, my baby just laughed for the first time. Like, I mean, I don't know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Other people got to share that too. I mean, really, people would never get to see that.
The thing with the pandemic. It's really, I think, loosened people up to those things to where now, you know, dogs jump up in the screen or, you know, something crazy like that happens. Everyone's very understanding of it now. And mm-hmm. yeah, I was in a large meeting a couple weeks ago and Jaden came home from school and came right up to my camera and just waved at everybody. So,
yeah. Well, that's an amazing story. And, you know, we can't wait until this pandemic's over and I get to hold her. Maybe she's not going to hold me by the time. But no, I'm so happy for you guys. And this is so great. I'm so thankful that you guys come on and got to share your story. Cindy brought up something a few minutes ago, and I really want to touch on this with you guys. Everyone's heard us talk about fundraising for the past two episodes, episode before you and your episode. And then we've did a great deal of fundraising as well, because we talked about the cost looks daunting. So let's go through. You guys had some really great ideas with fundraising. So if you guys don't mind, for anyone out there who's listening, who is thinking about going through the process, tell us some of the things that you guys did for fundraising.
So how do we explain this?
Which one do you want to explain?
First of all, fill out as many grants as you possibly can, because even if you get $500 from one of them, like, it's worth all the paperwork. The paperwork is just as much as it is to apply to adopt a baby. But for us, we wanted to be able to fundraise debt-free. Like, we didn't want to have to take out a bunch of loans and then have to worry about that financial burden, because we had just got out of debt ourselves. And so we just started getting creative. I got online and would just look up different ways to fundraise, from pumpkin rolls to putting change in a bottle to, I mean, our friends Haley came up with these ideas to sell trick or treat bags and mailboxes.
So we scooped ice cream.
Like, use mm-hmm. your
your network.
Not your network. Use your friends and their creativity, because they want to help you. Like, that was the hardest thing for us. We were always givers. We had never, you know, we weren't used to receiving like that. And
real heart experiences through the whole thing is like being on the receiving end of charity.
It's humbling.
It really is. And I hope everyone gets to experience that at some point in time in their life, if not through adoption, through something.
But we just try to get as creative as possible. And one of the things that we did that was a big hit, the flocking of yards with flamingos. I was like, we ain't got time to like go in people's yards and put flamingos. I think I saw it on Pinterest. I just saw a purple toilet and I looked at Connor and I was like, we need to paint some toilets and we just need to put them in people's yards. And our friend Haley was like, let's do it. And so Connor and I dumpster dived, got two toilets, took them to a car wash, washed them off. We're not ashamed to admit it.
A little bit.
You do what you gotta do. We gloved up.
We did.
But we painted them and they were a hit. It was like a prank. You could put them in people's yards to prank them, and people's HOAs loved them. it's exhausting to fundraise. It really is. It's a lot of work, but.
It is. It is a lot of work, but you know what? It was.
It was fun.
It was so fun. Looking back on it, I'm so glad we did that. We could have went and got extra jobs. That would have been cool. We'd earned money. And I'm sure we would have had good experiences through that too. But man, some of those fundraisers, like, it's just stuff we'll never forget.
And you meet people along the way. You make friends. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that have supported every single fundraiser that we've had. And it's like,
yeah, we have lifelong friends now just through fundraising that we've met and are, you know, are some of our closest friends now.
But don't be afraid to put it out there. I mean, in the beginning, I was like, I don't want to ask for money. Like, I feel like I'm begging people for money, but it's not begging, but you do what you gotta do, I guess.
Right. You're giving others an opportunity to participate in what God's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God provided every single time. Mm-hmm. Every single time.
It's amazing how he does that.
Yeah.
And his timing too. That's what you have to learn. The whole patience thing through it sometimes is difficult.
If it had been up to us, we would have adopted 3 or 4 months in after one situation.
Patience is one of my worst things. That, and I have to have a plan. So flying to Utah with like 4 hours notice was
kind of tough.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough.
I like to have structure, and there was just like no structure.
Yeah, so if it's okay with you, we're like to post a picture of those toilets that you guys did.
Yeah.
To go with this.
Make sure you block out her phone number.
Yeah, I'll block out your phone number.
You might want to explain a little bit more, too, in a little more detail on how that worked.
So you paid $20 to put it in somebody's yard. And if I put it in your yard, you would have to pay $10 to remove it, or you could pay $20 to have it moved to someone else's yard. And if you didn't want it in your yard at all, you had to pay for toilet insurance. And it was like $30. But it was called flushing. So the potty would sit in your yard for 24 hours. So we'd drive out in the middle of the night, plop it in your front yard, and then wait for you to text us the next morning asking why there's a toilet in your yard.
Because there's no notice. Like, we didn't tell them who put it there or what. There's just like, hey, you've been flushed. And people are like, what's going on?
Did y'all ever get it?
We actually never got it, but
we did flush.
People. We did flush some. Right. Yeah. And she knew right away that I did it.
There are still some people that, like, they told me, they were like, you know, you can keep it confidential, but some people would message us and be like, don't tell them it was me. And so there are some people that are still like, can you please tell me who put that toilet in my yard? I'm like, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I can't do that.
Yeah, but that was really great. It was fun watching the, you know, morning after photos that people would send to you.
Yes.
Yeah. That was sitting out there in their yard on the toilet.
Yes.
We've seen a lot of fundraising ideas, but that probably was the most unique and most fun that we've ever got to watch. I mean, we've been watching people do fundraising and adoptions for years, and that was probably one of the best ones that we have ever seen.
Teaser, they may be making a round 3.
Oh boy.
Not for us, not for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured that. Oh, and you have some friends that are in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We weren't desperate, but we weren't above.
Yeah, we weren't desperate, but we weren't ashamed.
Listen, just think about it. You would do anything for your child, right?
Literally.
Literally.
Even dumpster dive for some toilets.
Exactly. You would do anything for your child.
Can you imagine looking out your window and you seeing someone in a dumpster pulling out a toilet? And putting it in the back of their SUV.
I hope someone saw that.
That's wonderful. Somebody's got a video of that somewhere. Like, yeah. You see this?
Snapchat or something.
Okay. We always ask our guests this one question. Both of you have to answer. There is no right or wrong answer. But we want to know, if you could pick any patio anywhere in the world, where would that patio be? And who would you invite to sit with you on that patio to have a conversation? They can be dead or alive, fictional or real.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
I kind of cheated. So I listened to your podcast earlier.
That's not cheating. That's good stuff. Well, listening to our podcast.
I got to really think about it. And I was like, first I picked my favorite celebrity. And then I was like, and then I got to really thinking about it. It might sound cheesy and it might sound, I don't know. But I think it would be Elsie's birth parents. Like, because we do email them a lot. You know, we email back and forth. But to just be able to sit down with them some more and just talk to them and hear stories. You know what I mean? To be able to tell Elsie one day. Mm-hmm. I think I would really enjoy doing that. Like, just to get to know them. Just, you know, like, I'm just a relationship person. So I don't know.
Where would you do that?
Oh, wherever, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you'd want somewhere warm.
Oh, yeah.
You don't like it to be cold.
No.
And you love the beach. So you'd probably want an ocean view. No sand, though. The sand's gross.
Why don't you tell them where
you I know. Here we are again. Like, Connor knows you so well.
That's great. Really good.
It's not gross, though. But you're right. Probably someplace warm.
Do you order her dinner for her, Connor?
Only after I have very specifically specified, like, and I have like 3 alternatives in case they don't have it. That's when I order. There's nothing worse than making her order and then saying, I'm sorry, we're out of that. And I don't have a backup. That's the worst.
All right, Connor, your turn.
This is really hard for me because on one hand, there's so many stories out there. Any person, dead or alive, in any location. I think I would like to talk. One of the most perplexing people that I've read about is King David from the Bible, obviously. And I would like to talk to him toward the end of his life and really ask him about the decisions that he made through his life, the good and the bad, how he ended up, how he found himself in those highest places where he was able to make the best decisions, and then at the same time find himself in those lowest places where he made some of his worst decisions. And I just think there would be so much insight to gain there just by having a conversation with him.
You're a very deep person.
Oh, wow. That was pretty deep. That was great.
He could fall into his feelings sometimes. He's like you, David.
Or, you know what? And I just thought about this one. I would also really, really love to talk to James, the brother of Jesus. I really want to talk to him. I got to know what that was like.
Did he annoy you at all?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Did he annoy you? Anything? Yeah.
Kind of like the Brady Bunch. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
It's always Jesus. Jesus.
So what if he can part the waters?
Where would that be? Where would you like to sit down with David?
Where would that be? I love a good view. And I think for me, that is somewhere with a lot of, maybe like in the Alps, but not when it's like not super cold, you know, because I don't really like cold weather either. But if we're like by a warm fire, that'd be all right. I think that'd be cool. Just somewhere out in nature with a lot of mountains and trees. That's my favorite.
Very good.
Let's hop in the car and go find that spot.
I'd like to find that spot too. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on with us. We're so excited to share your story, and we just are thankful that we've got to just be a small part of watching your family grow.
I mean, you're not a small part. Cindy prayed Elsie into existence. I know. Thanks for having us. This was fun.
Yeah, and also thank you guys for, I mean, obviously you really downplay how much a part of our story you've been, because We were talking with you on a almost daily basis, it seems like, throughout the whole thing. So obviously you guys were a huge part of that, and not only just chit chat, but like walking us through some of those things and helping us get over certain emotions and stuff like that. That was some real stuff.
And so, even before we even wanted to talk to it about anybody, like I think David, you sat down with us at Room in the Inn and we discussed it. You said, "Let me tell you about adoption."
Yeah. You were there before the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm always willing and ready to talk about it. I think it's something that's super important. It's something that's definitely affected my life. And yeah, I'm always ready to talk about it. Always.
And I like how you guys start out the podcast and you talk about what's important, like language. And
well, guys, thank you so much for sitting down with us. We're super excited for you guys, and we can't wait to see Elsie again. And I really know I just want to hold her.
Yeah.
And just to let you guys know, Cindy was saying the other day, "I'm so tired of this. I want to see that baby."
Come see your house and just take her with you for a few hours.
Okay.
Okay, done.
Just stay here, but we don't have a couch. We only have kitchen table. That's
perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. So thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you guys soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Did I tell you that she had a cool name?
You did tell us that. Of course, I already knew it.
Yeah.
But yes, you did to share that with our listener, and she does. Connor, your name is cool, too.
Yeah. Don't mean to leave you out, buddy.
We really appreciate them coming on and sharing their story with us. We most of all are appreciative that they let us share in their journey, which was, you know, an honor to be a part of. I'm most thankful that God let me get a little glimpse of his work of, you know, when I mentioned about when I mentioned the night of prayer on Christmas Eve, I mean, obviously my prayer didn't make the outcome happen. It was already in place, right? God is always working in the waiting, and obviously that's what he was doing in their story. He just allowed me to experience, you know, his goodness in it. And, you know, while I'm crying out to him about our families that are waiting for their children in this coming year of 2020, which none of us had the idea of what it would look like at that time, I can just envision that he's up there saying, "You just wait, Cindy, my dear, just wait and see what I'm going to do." And then bam, the very next day, the day that we celebrate our Savior's birth, to have a gift like that for Mystery and Connor was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'll never forget getting the phone call from them and just how excited they were and what a Christmas blessing.
Yeah, talk about an unexpected Christmas surprise.
It was awesome. Very cool. Very cool. So again, we just are very thankful we just got to be a small part of it, just mm-hmm. so we can sit back and watch.
Yeah.
And it's been a blessing to watch them through social media.
Yeah, thanks to Corona.
Thanks to the coronavirus with their sweet, sweet daughter.
So I wanted to point out one of the key things that I really loved that Connor shared about their story and basically what he wanted to express to our listeners was that you don't have to start your family through that conventional way of starting with a biological child. You can start building your family through adoption first. It doesn't have to be a situation of last resort or after I have biological children, 3 or 4 of them, then we'll adopt. You know, it can come first in that pyramid of building your family.
Absolutely, it can. Because we hope you're enjoying the series so far. We've got a couple more to go in the month of November, Adoption Awareness Month. And the reason we're telling these stories is we just want to give thanks to God. We want to tell of all the wonderful things that he does. So that leads us to our verse of the week. Psalm 9, verse 1. I'll give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I think that's very fitting.
I absolutely agree that it is fitting for this series and for this month of November. That is one of the months that most often people will actually stop and think about the things that they're grateful for. I hope that maybe after experiencing 2020, that we'll all be more aware what to be grateful for. And not always think about the big things, but the little things where God shows up and gives graciously to us. And we'll sing his praises.
You heard it in Mystery and Connor's story. They talked about in hindsight, you always see how God worked and moved. While you're in it, it's harder to see. But they watch that, and then they come out and they give thanks and tell of his wonderful deeds. I think this is very fitting, not only for our whole series, but for what they specifically talked about as well.
Yes.
We hope you will join us again for our next adoption story. Until then, we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, or if you're listening after Thanksgiving, a wonderful Christmas. And if you're listening after Christmas, I don't know what to tell you.
Hopefully, yeah, I think you just went too far.
Hopefully 2020 is better. Hopefully 2021 is better. See, I'm stuck. It's like Groundhog Day over.
Yeah, what are we going to say next year? Well, it's 2020 for you. Well, you can't say that anymore if it's over.
No, you just blame it. Just blame 2024.
That's a curse word now.
Wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, today, tonight, tomorrow, have a good day.
That's a wrap. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and hit subscribe wherever you listen to our podcast. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Patio Talk Pod. Please check us out as well on our website, patiotalkpod.net. And if you like what you hear and would like to support the show, click on that cute little button in the show notes that says Buy Us a Coffee. Thanks for listening.